welcome back to the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with my friend and co-host, Dale Lolly. And we are getting you ready for some football. Now, it's preseason football. It's Hall of Fame game preseason football. But, Dale, it's still football. The pads will be on. It's going to at least have that bit of excitement to it. It's nice because we finally saw some pads go on in training camp. But still, it's the same guys versus the same guys. Now there'll be some competition with the other team, with the Cowboys guys who are trying to make the team versus the Steelers guys who are trying to make the team. There's at least a little bit of excitement in that after such a long time without any football to talk about.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm in the dog days of training camp here, Chris. I've honestly, after, you know, 3 weeks of OTAs and then a mini camp and a rookie mini camp, and then, you know, 2.5-3 weeks of training camp, however long it's been. I don't know. This was day 12. It seems like longer. I'm just ready to see some football.
I feel you.
That's all I want to see, football.
Yeah. Just hitting people, calling plays, you know, maybe seeing who beats who. It'd be nice to talk about that instead of all the maybes and blows and, you know, all these storylines that we stretch out to entertain you all, to get to bring out our analysis. But now our analysis can be on actual football, man. It's going to be great to have that. I've got a Carter's Classroom up on Antoine Brooks and Arthur Mollett. I've been saving that one for the last dog day before we have some new film to analyze. So, man, I just nearly made it because I was running out of things to break down that would sound new to our readers who follow us very closely. They're like, wait, Chris is starting to reuse things. And I'm like, oh. But talking about this Hall of Fame game, Mike Tomlin revealed that the plan for quarterback is Mason Rudolph starting the game, Dwayne Haskins coming in after that, and then Josh Dobbs basically finishing the game in the second half. Dale, there's been a good amount of talk about Mason's mistakes and then Dwayne making some plays, but then Dwayne making some mistakes. I wanted to get your insight on where this actually stands. Cause like I've acknowledged like on, you know, when on live cues and a bunch of different other things, like, hey, yeah, Dwayne has looked, you know, better than the horribleness he looked in Washington, but, and Mason has struggled, but that doesn't absolutely mean that Dwayne's got, you know, an inside spot on this job. He can push for it. He can fight for it. I think he's closer than I thought he would be at this point in time, because I didn't think he'd be anywhere near close. But I'm still on the side of this is still Mason's job to lose, and he has a lot more to do bad before we can even talk about him losing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can, you know, look, Mason Rudolph's the only one that's under contract for next season.
Exactly.
You know, if let's put it this way. If Dwayne Haskins gets bumped up to QB2 this year, now all of a sudden, maybe you got to pay him a little bit more money next year. And quite frankly, you know, Rudolph's been the guy, you know, he knows the team better. He knows the players better. It doesn't really matter who's two and who's three on game days, other than the fact that one of them's going to play. If something were to happen to Ben Roethlisberger, you know, you can always let's say at the end of the year, let's say week 17, the Steelers are either already have a playoff spot locked up or are out of the playoffs altogether. They could still decide that, hey, we're just going to give Dwayne Haskins a start here to see what he looks like. Or they could say, we're going to give Mason Rudolph a start to see what he looks like. It doesn't, you know, two and three, I think people are getting too caught up in. The only one that matters is one.
Right.
Who's quarterback one?
Right.
The only thing that matters.
It's the only thing that matters because it's what we're going to see. And again, if Ben goes down, that's the season anyways. You know, like they might be able to eke out a playoff spot if Mason comes in. But, you know, a lot of this is still dependent on Ben Roethlisberger being healthy and being more fresh this year than he was last year. And we've seen a little bit in training camp. He's moved around in the pocket and found some guys, and he's still able to zip a ball, you know, over 30 yards down the field. So, like, we're still seeing Ben Roethlisberger, you know, be a functioning NFL franchise quarterback. You know, and if that goes, then that's a whole study. But again, that's what it boils down to. So when people start talking about, who's important here and who's winning this job, I think it's cool to keep an eye on those things. Cause again, it's been training camp. We haven't had actual football to talk about. And even still, we'll still mainly just have preseason football to talk about, but at the same time, I think that some people get sucked into this and it becomes their world when if you're talking about the Steelers, it's like, okay, this is cool for now. But, you know, come September, this isn't going to be important unless disaster strikes.
Yeah. And if disaster strikes, then you kind of try to string it together like you did in 2019. We'll see. I think Haskins has looked better at times. I'm not going to say he's, he's looked like the second coming. He's made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the stuff with Rudolph and Haskins is based on Haskins just not being Rudolph. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think there's a large segment out there that just hates Mason Rudolph, and well, he can't possibly be the quarterback of the future. So therefore, if he's not going to be the quarterback of the future, what are you doing? That overlooks the fact that your backup quarterback's an important spot.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland's paying their backup quarterback $8 million this year.
Yes.
The Steelers aren't paying Mason Rudolph anything close to that.
Nope.
You're still getting him on a relatively cheap deal. So if you draft a longtime backup quarterback, that has some value to it.
Mm-hmm.
Until the point where he costs too much money. But I just think there's a large segment of Steeler fans out there who are just looking for someone, anyone. And maybe they're hoping that Dwayne Haskins is that potential quarterback of the future. Then your problems next year are maybe a little more solved. Maybe he's going to cost you some money, but if he's your quarterback of the future, then who cares? I don't know that he's that. I want to see it in the preseason. I want to see it in games against other teams. What happens in these training camp practices so much is that, and it's, I coached basketball, youth basketball, and of course I played basketball a lot. You're running plays.
Mm-hmm.
And when your defense knows the play, a lot of times they can jump routes.
Mm-hmm.
They can jump passes, in basketball, because they know the play. You're running your stuff against them. So there's only so much stuff you can run. And so they get used to what you're running there. Now, some of the backups maybe aren't quite as talented. So mostly that's who Dwayne Haskins is working against, the backups. So I would hope that he would look good in those situations. He's a former first-round pick working against guys who, maybe insurance salesmen in another 3 weeks.
Right.
So, that's why I want to see what he looks like in a game. Again, he's looked good at times. He's looked not so good at times. Rudolph's looked good at times. He's looked not so good at times. I know a lot of people get caught up in the what's happened in these open practices, because that's been what's been able to be reported.
Right.
That doesn't discount everything that happened before that.
No.
They practiced, and those practices were recorded, and they took place, and the coaches saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they count too. It's not just these last week of practices that we've been able to report on that they're going to be judging these things off of.
Also, it's important to remember, when I talk to people who, studied or watched or covered Dwayne Haskins in Washington, this is also what he did there. He would light it up in training camp, or he'd do well in preseason and everyone get excited. And then the pressure would be on in the regular season, and then he'd fall apart. Things would get bad.
Well, quarterbacks know in this situation, they're not going to get hit.
Right. That too.
That kind of makes it, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You can stand in the pocket and know, hey, I'm the quarterback. I'm not going to get hit here. All right. You could stand there and make a throw. He had a touchdown the other day in a 2 minute drill.
Mm-hmm.
It was late last week. I want to say Thursday or Friday. I can't remember. Maybe it was Saturday, where on fourth down, he would have been sacked.
Yeah.
Instead, he stood there. The defender ran by him. He stood there. He completed the pass for the first down, and they go down and score. Well, that drive would have never in a game would have never taken place. It would have ended on the fourth down sack.
Not only that, Dale, but how many times has the offense gotten a win in seven shots because he ran the option and they aren't going to hit him?
They're not going to hit him. He had one the other day where Ryan Moy, or not Ryan Moy, Lamont Wade.
Lamont Wade, yeah.
Would have hit him at the 1 yard line.
And that would not have gone well for Dwayne Haskins. Yeah,
maybe he gets in, maybe he doesn't. But he got in that situation, and it counted as a win for him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we don't, you know, maybe he fumbles the football in that situation. You don't know.
You don't know. I've always felt like the QB running the ball on seven shots is a cheat.
You're supposed to throw the football.
Right.
That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a designed run by the quarterback, and those were not designed runs.
Right. Those were him just.
Josh Dobbs does the same thing. And, hey, that's part of their game.
Yeah.
Not so much for Haskins, but it's certainly part of
definitely Dobbs.
Dobbs game, I should say.
No, definitely Dobbs. That was a big part of who he was at Tennessee and what got him to the NFL in the first place. Dale, there's a lot of interesting things about the quarterback position, but there's other guys that are going to be playing in this this Hall of Fame game or not playing. We're going to talk about that after this break. Back here on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter here with Dale Lolly. Continue to break things down. Remember, if you're listening to this podcast, you can subscribe to us anywhere, but especially on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And if you rate us 5 stars, a positive comment, it really helps us out. Not just us out with Lolly Carter, but also with the H2P podcast, with the We Are podcast, with the Daily Shots, with all the podcasts, whether it's Penguins, Pirates, or anyone here with DKPittsburghSports.com. Again, I'm Chris Carter. He's Dale Lolly. We're talking about the Hall of Fame game. It's Thursday night in Canton, Ohio. Dale will be there. It's going to be interesting to see some of these other guys in here. Now, Dale, there's certain guys we know aren't playing. Ben's not going to be playing. Joe Hayden's not going to be playing. I don't think Cam Hayward's not going to be playing. You know, there's going to be other guys. You know, TJ Watt, I mean, he hasn't even practiced in full pads yet. That's another story.
Terrell Edmonds, most of the offensive line. You can go on down the list of guys that they're not going to play in this game because they don't have to play him in this game.
No.
Now, we'll see about Najee Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I know Mike Tomlin said, hey, I want to see him go through the pregame ritual.
Right.
And we're going to decide, he said, we'll decide, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, whether we're going to play him or not. Mm-hmm. He didn't guarantee he was going to play Najee Harris. There was no such proclamation made. He said he wants to see him go through the process of getting ready to play in the game. How does that go? If it's me, I don't know that I'd play him at all in this game.
Dale,
what's the gain out of it?
I think the entire move here is he dresses, he practices, and then he sits the entire game. Like you said.
I think so as well. I think you see how he handles that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all part of it.
How he approaches it. Because it does make sense. Like, he wants to see how Najee would – how Najee, like, you know, handles that. Because, again, he's a huge part of what this team has to be in the future, if they're in the near future, this year and moving forward, if they're going to be competitive and move forward, you know, with better results than last year. So – evaluating that part of him is at no harm to the Steelers, because then you're not putting him in harm's way. There's no chance he has a freak accident. You know, so now you're sitting there like, okay, you get to see that part of him to see how he prepares. And then when you're actually ready to use him in the preseason, you will. But it's the Hall of Fame game. This game ultimately doesn't matter. This is just a spectacle that the NFL puts on to add to the opening of the season and that kind of fanfare. And I get the excitement behind that, but there's no way Najee Harris should play at all. If he does, it's a snap or two just to say you did it and just to see that and, like, you know, test his mettle. But you're pulling him immediately.
I don't even know if he does play.
I don't think he does.
Do you even have him run the football?
Right. Just
maybe have him take it's a pass rep on third down because you just want to see him, you know, see how he recognizes, protection.
Right.
That would be the only way because otherwise, you know, he dinged his shoulder at practice on Tuesday.
I saw that. Yeah.
You saw him. He went out to catch a pass. I don't know what he did, but he immediately went to the sideline when everybody else was in the middle of the field and took a knee. And then the trainers came over to look at him. They went through this with Le'Veon Bell in 2013. Bell got hurt in the preseason and missed the first three games of the year. They can't afford for that to happen.
No, they can't.
They can't have Najee Harris miss the first three or four games of the season.
Nope.
You saw what had happened, you know, because of that in 2012 or 2013. I'm sorry, they started 0-4.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yeah, and he came in for that Vikings game in London, and it still wasn't up. But once he got going, they got going.
Right.
And
they were 8-4 the rest of the way.
Right. Right. I mean, that's such a critical thing. And you're right. That's the whole thing. They're not trying to overwork him right now. They're trying to see how much he can take. They're trying to get him used to the NFL. And that's always a tricky balance, right, for coaches. Like, you know, how much can we push this guy without pushing him too far and wearing him down? That's something that Mike Tomlin, I mean, his first year in the NFL, he admitted he's like, yeah, I pushed him too hard in 2007, but I learned, you know, how far I could push those guys. And they won the Super Bowl in 2008. You know, so that's the thing. Don't expect to see Najee. We haven't seen Benny Snell for the last couple of days in practice. So not sure how that factors in, but
Anthony McFarlane wasn't out there today. I mean, they're a little nicked up at the running back spot.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't mind seeing Kalen Ballage out there and get 20 carries.
He's the guy I was about to talk about because we've seen him running some routes. We've seen him running the ball.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Chris, if he gets hurt, so what?
So what? Exactly.
You go find another Kalen Ballage.
Right.
But you want to see, hey, can he handle the load here? Because if he can, now, if I'm Benny Snell, I'm getting a little nervous, perhaps.
Right. Because here's the thing. I said it on this podcast with you months ago when they signed Kalen Ballage. That was a warning shot to Anthony McFarlane, Benny Snell, and Jalen Samuels. Like, hey, guys, your jobs ain't safe. You may think it is because you guys were the only thing that were here. But guess what? They're drafted a running back, and now they've signed a running back. And Kalen Ballage is, at least if you're not better than him, one of y'all is going to go. Maybe two of y'all. And you know, there's still Jalen Samuels is still the guy that we both have on the bottom of that list. But if Benny Snell can't get back on the field soon, and whether or not that's, you know, that's an injury or something else is going on there, you know, Mike Tomlin said they're continuing to evaluate him, but didn't give any specifics, you know, that's, you know, that could be the end of his time in Pittsburgh. As harsh as that sounds, it's the reality in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, if you're, you know, not a starter and you get hurt, there's always that chance that, you know, you could lose your job.
Yep. It's certainly a thing there. Defensively, we've talked a lot about the offense with this game. Defensively, this is where we'll get to see a little bit of James Pierre, you know, because we only saw limited snaps of him last year. And
I think we'll see a lot of James Pierre.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, just leave that a little bit. But yeah, we'll see a lot of James Pierre, no Joe Hayden. I doubt we see any Cam Sutton, you know, but you know, you'll see a lot of Justin Lane. I think Dale, over the last two practices, he finally stopped looking bad in training camp, at least in my eyes. So we'll see how he handles some competition. But Justin Lane's another guy, kind of like Benny Snell. It's like, dude, you got to show up. You were a draft pick a few years ago, but you haven't done much yet. So you should be on watch because James Pierre has continued to turn heads in training camp. You know, and they got other corners out there who are pushing for time. So that's going to be interesting, but also the slot cornerback battle, which I wrote about for Carter's Classroom for Wednesday. You know, Antoine Brooks, Arthur Mollett, we'll see who even plays from that position.
It's going to be Antoine Brooks.
Yeah. That's part of what I'm writing here is who we're looking at, but these are going to be like the early steps of just seeing how some of these new guys and young guys fit in are playing within the system. And again, granted, they're not playing with the first team guys. Like Minka's not out there. TJ's not out there. Devin won't be out there. These are all guys you're going to be like, okay, you know, this is how they perform now, but there's still going to be, it's a different level when you know there's other guys on the field you can count on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is the time of, you know, and Mike Tomlin talked about it. Like, you know, this is where maybe you're not going to be a guy who plays on defense, but you're a defensive player.
Right.
But you go out and ball out on special teams.
Yeah.
You know, you go out and make a couple of tackles. You do your you do your job out there. The guy, the guy who continues to interest me is, and I have him making my 53-man roster, is Henry Mondu.
Mm.
I think he's the only defensive lineman. Maybe Isaiah Loudermilk does a little bit of special team stuff. But Mondu's the only one who's like on kick return and kick, you know, and like punt coverage and things nature. You know, you're talking about a 300 pounder there. They've in the past like to have a guy like that. You know, Brett Kiesel made his bones early in his career playing mm-hmm. special teams. Mm-hmm. Israel Raybon, guys like that have kind of done that. Orpheus Roy.
I was gonna say Israel. But I remember Orpheus Roy.
Having a big guy that can run, and Mondu can run. He's like a 4'9", 4'8", you know, mm-hmm. high 4'8" guy at 300 pounds, and is athletic. I mean, they used him at fullback. If you remember last year,
he had a lead block for a touchdown. I remember that last year.
For a touchdown. That intrigues me. You know what I mean? So a guy like that, that can go out there and get you some key special teams moments, has some value. So that's what you're looking for your backups, especially when you have a guy like Melvin Ingram, who's not going to play special teams.
Right.
You know, so you're losing one of your outside linebackers right out of the gate as a special teams player. So, you know, I think there's some spots to be won there as for these backup special teams guys.
Absolutely. That's going to be another thing to watch is how people do on special teams.
And who's on what units.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my partner on SNR, Matt Williamson, said, you know, keep an eye on who's on the first team punt coverage unit.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys usually make the roster.
Right.
Because, you know, those are the guys you can't afford to screw that up.
No. Those are going to be the guy. Yeah, because, but again, that's something the Steelers have prided themselves in the Danny Smith era of being special teams coach, you know, being able to, you know, be disciplined on punt coverage and kick coverage. And, you know, it's paid off. And if they're trusting you with that job, that means that you must have earned it somehow. So I agree. That's definitely something to watch as we continue to figure out who's going to fill out the different parts of this depth chart that are still unsure and still murky just after 2 weeks of practices at the Southside facility and then at Heinz Field. Dale, we still got a long way to go in preseason. We got three more games after this, but at least we get something here to kind of chew on for a bit, get some film and get to be there. That's going to be an exciting time. Stay tuned with us here at DKPittsburghSports.com. We'll have all the content keeping you up to date with your Steelers, how they're doing, how these battles are shaping out in training camp. Dale's going to be live there. I'm going to be live there as well. It's going to be a great time. Dale, thanks so much as always for doing the show with me. We'll be back in your ears again soon here on the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. We'll be probably recapping the game and what our takes are for the Saturday version of the podcast as the Steelers resume training camp practices at Heinz Field. That's this upcoming Saturday. So it's going to be a fun packed time. Stay tuned with us here. Remember, subscribe to all the DK Pittsburgh Sports Platform podcasts on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Also, rate us 5 stars with a positive comment. It helps out everybody. I mean, everybody here, and we all appreciate it. Thanks again for listening to the Lolly Carter Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter. He's Dale Lolly. We'll be talking to you again soon.